Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His grace and mercy has been pointed out. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy's not getting what we do deserve. So I'm glad for grace and mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to the first chapter of Ephesians, I'm not going to offer an exposition of this morning, though. Ephesians chapter 1 is tremendously encouraging. It shows us all of what God has done for us. But I want to focus on one particular thing as a meditation before communion. As you can tell, we're not in the book of Revelation today, and we'll get back, Lord willing, to that next Sunday. But if you'd stand, we're going to read one verse, and we're going to pray over this message and the remainder of the service. And we are interrupting mid-sentence. In fact, this is one of the unique things about Paul, but there's a 14-verse sentence here in Ephesians chapter 1. So we're interrupting that sentence. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God, hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. I want to take that last scriptural phrase and I want to present it to us this morning. And I want to say to every born-again believer, and this will be the title, you are accepted in the beloved. You're accepted in the beloved. I hope we'll rejoice as we preach this and rejoice as we partake of communion this morning that we are truly accepted in the beloved. Thank you, Father. May your word go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'd capture my thoughts. And I pray, Lord, you'd move in hearts and give ears to hear. And may this Lord's Supper have special meaning today, Lord, as from having heard this word, this specific word of what you've done for us, that we are accepted in the beloved. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to share one instance, although this is a reoccurring thing that is happening in our world, but here's just one. A 14-year-old girl in Bangalore has hung herself after she was rejected by her Facebook friend, Manoj. Manoj was a second-year BCom student and apparently began to talk to this girl in September, and then he cut off all contact with her on Facebook, and she hanged herself. A suicide. Sadly, that is not a rarity anymore through the bullying on social media. That has been a story that we've heard quite frequently in the news. Suicides because of postings on Facebook and other social media. And the bottom line is they got to that point because they began to feel so rejected by others. They felt so much like they did not fit in. They felt so totally unaccepted that they came to that tragic decision of taking their own lives. But the bottom line was the feeling of being unaccepted. And that is a real thing in our world. Now, I want you to know as I preach this morning, I've not been reading a psychology book. I've not been reading something on self-help or any of that. I just see a great need in people's hearts and lives. And this message came to me because I could not get this phrase out of my mind. Accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Here we have these suicides of people who feel unaccepted. And it's such a general trend of our society to feel unaccepted. And yet we have this promise from Scripture that we have been accepted in the beloved. Oh, what a message that we have. In our fragmented society, we have each fragment constantly plugged in to some electronic portal. And they're in cyberspace. And I increasingly hear from those folks, I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel accepted. I hear that increasingly. And I hear it increasingly because people increasingly feel that way. Isn't it interesting in a world that supposedly tolerates everything and everybody, people still feel unaccepted? Think about that. We're living in a society that touts itself as a society that tolerates and accepts everything and everybody. And yet there's a growing sense of unacceptability. I'm not just talking to an adolescent who may be struggling with finding his identity, but I am talking to those of every age. And it's even sad to my heart when I hear so many Christians, members of the church, truly believing, truly pining that they don't fit in, that they're not accepted. Now I want you to hear this all over the building, because I fervently believe this. Not feeling accepted is almost always an attitude and a self-perception, and rarely a reality. To not feel accepted is an attitude, a self-perception. It's about how you view yourself and not how others view you. I've got an answer. You know, some folks would come to me and say, "Pastor Hurst, I just don't really feel like I fit in." I said, "That's nothing. I'm the pastor and I don't feel like I fit in." You see? Why? Because it's rarely a reality. It's an attitude that gets a hold of us. It's not in the way others view us, but it's in the way that we view ourselves. But I want to tell you this morning, if we'll take God at His word, we can focus on a spiritual truth that will give us a change of attitude and a change of understanding, and we will realize by His word that in fact we are accepted. And we are accepted by He whom it really matters. We have been accepted by God. Hallelujah. That's enough. That'll trickle down to every other area to know that we have been accepted by God Himself. We're accepted in the Beloved. I want to talk about the reasons of the feeling of unacceptable, of being unacceptable. Amen. He hath made us accept in the blood, in the Beloved, by the blood. We can put that that way. We've been accepted in the Beloved. You see, here is the reason, and I'll just boil it down to one quick thing. The reason people feel unaccepted is because each and every human has been born broken, born flawed, born damaged, born distorted. Amen. And it's a part of our brokenness that makes us feel unaccepted, uncared for, makes us feel we don't fit in, makes us feel that we don't matter. You say, what are you talking about, this brokenness? I'm talking about the reality of our fallenness. We humans, since the first two, Adam and Eve, because of sin, we're not as God totally created us. We have fallen, and the reality of sin is this: sin alienates, sin separates, and because of sin we feel unaccepted by God. Because of sin we feel unaccepted by others, uncared for. It's sin that separates us and gives us this attitude. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, immediately they felt unaccepted by God. How do I know that? They went and hid themselves. The same reason people pull out of society, pull out of the fellowship of the church, and start hibernating at home away from folks. It's the same thing. I'm not saying necessarily it's contributed to a particular sin that person is doing. I'm saying it's the effects of sin, the consequences of sin from the beginning. We've been alienated. We've been separated. And Adam and Eve went and hid themselves upon their sin because they did not feel like they fit in with the fellowship of God any longer. They feel now excluded. They feel now not a part. I'm just saying the reason of feeling unaccepted is sin. I have noticed when people get this attitude, they increasingly hide. They withdraw into a cocoon because they don't feel like they're loved. They don't feel valued. They don't feel like they fit in. Folks hide in a back bedroom watching hour after hour a marathon of television. Amen. That people create a fantasized false profile of themselves on the internet, trying to create a cyber extension of themselves that they hope at least their cyber creation will be accepted. Amen. The youth hang out texting and Snapchatting one another that are 20 feet away, never really connecting with one another because they don't feel like they fit in, and so they withdraw. Folks feel hurt and excluded and refuse to come to church and be among those who really do care and really do love them, because they're convinced they feel like they're not loved and they're not cared for. And again, the reason, it's the consequences of sin. It's the deformity of our fallen souls. Listen to me. We don't feel like we fit in. We don't feel like we matter. We don't feel good enough. And our sense, listen to this, our sense of how people perceive us inattractively is linked to our sense of how God perceives us. You say, what are you talking about? I feel like people don't accept me when I feel like God doesn't accept me. And I feel like, when I feel like God doesn't accept me, I feel like people don't accept me. They're interchangeable. Oh, we're going somewhere this morning. I'm just glad to tell you, we are accepted in the beloved. Amen. We're feeling this way. We get locked into the trap. Listen to me. Feeling unaccepted. We get locked into the trap of trying to gain acceptance, trying to prove ourselves. We get involved in trying to impress folks that we do matter, and caught in that trap, we only increase the feeling of being unaccepted. Amen. Not only do we seek to win the approval of people, we seek to win the approval of God. We try to make ourselves perform in a way that we are accepted with God. I want you to know, the only one who doesn't struggle, as I described this morning, the only one that doesn't struggle with that is, number one, somebody that in his imagination he is convinced of his own greatness and just feels like everybody likes him. He's accepted by all. That's a deluded person that has such a conceited, lofty view of themselves that they just think everybody accepts me. Even that's one person. The other person, listen to me, the other person that is not involved in that struggle is the one who by faith, the one who is accepted the message. Amen. And they have come to the conclusion, amen, I don't have to try to win approval. I don't have to try to win acceptance, because I have been accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. God has accepted me in the beloved. Amen. The world seems to accept those in two categories. The world seems to accept those either especially talented and gifted, or those that are exceptionally weird. The only folks the world don't accept is normal folk, common folk. Abraham Lincoln said God must love and care for the common man, because he sure created a bunch of them. You look at our world, and if you can hit a ball far enough, accepted. If you got a certain criteria of looks, accepted. Or if you're just an oddball stuck upside down on a wall, accepted. If your behavior's bizarre, accepted. But people that live common and right, am I telling you the truth? And they put it under the label of tolerance. I want to ask you, isn't the world's hypocrisy interesting? Our world boasts it accepts people. Accepts people just as they are. But if folks are not just like the world, they're rejected. It's a hypocrisy. And I want you to know, the world will never truly accept the good, the righteous, the Christ believer, the Jesus follower. The world will never accept a person like that. Oh, they have a tactic. They try to make folks feel accepted until they get them to join their company. The world doesn't even really accept its own, except as a ploy and as a tactic. Amen. Amen. I've heard folks say they leave the church and say, well, you know, the church didn't accept me, but the world does. I can go to the bar and they don't care if I fornicate. I can go to the bar, they don't care what I've done to others. I can go to the bar and everybody just accepts me. There's more acceptance in the world than there is the church. That's a deception. I said, that's a deception. It's all over through the world. They make a mockery of it. They say they accept, but they in fact really do not accept. And in a quest to gain acceptance, especially the young are vulnerable to thinking that surrendering to the world's opinion will gain the world's acceptance of them. That is not true. It is a lie that if you surrender, in fact, the world may make fun of you and mock you for believing in Christ and living right and pure. Amen. And they may mock that. But the moment you fall from that differentness, they will disrespect you. Amen. They've got you now and they'll laugh at you in a whole nother way. Listen, I just want to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. You do not have to surrender to the world's opinion. That will not gain you acceptance. Listen, young people, you don't have to surrender your purity to gain the acceptance that really matters. You don't have to dress immodestly and make a display of your body to gain the acceptance that really matters. You don't have to commit the sins that the world sins and get the acceptance that really matters. You don't have to develop the chemical habit. You don't have to talk vulgarly and profanely to gain the acceptance that really matters. Oh, hallelujah. I said, why can you tell me that? Because if you'll come to Him, you are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in Christ. The reason is sin. Now, I want to talk about the remedy for feeling unaccepted. If the reason of being unaccepted ultimately deals with sin, then the remedy must also deal with sin. Right? If the problem's sin, then the remedy must do something about the sin. And so let's talk about the remedy. But before we do, there's a question that's begging to be answered. What truly does it mean to be accepted? Well, just strictly, to be accepted is to measure up to a certain standard or requirement. To be accepted, in the terminology I've been using, means to fit in or to be valued. Now listen, there's two ways to approach this. There's the worldly way, and then there's God's way. Hear me. If to be accepted is to meet a standard, to measure up to a criteria requirement, the world's way is to do away with the requirement. To do away with the standard. And say we simply accept people wherever they're at. We take away the standard. And so they develop this twisted concept of tolerance. And so instead of talking about acceptance, the world talks about being tolerant. And they even get that word wrong. Because you can look up later the definition of the word tolerant, which means to respect even though you disagree, and to treat valuable even though you disagree. To them, the word tolerance means to accommodate, to approve, right? You know, you could just say of a certain group of people, I don't believe it that way, I believe that's sin. You can leave them alone, you can greet them cordially and kindly, and they'll yell in your face, you're intolerant. That's not intolerance, right? You see, they've twisted the ideal of tolerance. To them, tolerance means to condone, to approve, to put the stamp of approval on. And our world says that it's tolerant by getting rid of all the standards, but it hasn't worked. How do you know that? Well, if they feel so accepted, why are they acting so unaccepted? Why are they so angry? Why are they trying to get everybody to accept them if their behavior is truly acceptable. Right? They've got it all twisted up. And so that just doesn't work. It's not a remedy to get rid of the standard. You know, so many people, and I kind of bungled that, but just think about what I'm trying to say. Some people think that's the way of being accepted, is just find a group that has no standards, no convictions, no requirements, and it doesn't matter how you live and what you do, and they'll accept you. That is not the way to acceptance. It's false. It's not real. And that's what I'm trying to say. There are folks that live a life, all the standards have been removed, and the world says, we tolerate you just the way you are, we accept you just the way you are. If that's true, why are those people still acting like folks that are unaccepted? Because the world can take away the standard, but that doesn't change the reality of your heart and the way things really are. But I'm glad there's another way of dealing with not being accepted. You see, for God to accept doesn't mean he finds us acceptable. Can you think with me all over the building? Listen, I said there's another way. For God to accept me does not mean that he finds me in and of myself acceptable. He doesn't accept me because he approves of my life. He accepts me in spite of my life. He doesn't approve you based on what you've done or not done. In fact, he accepts you based on, in spite of what you've done or haven't done. He meant, how does that happen? He doesn't accept us based on who we are, our position in life, our background, our IQ, our physical appearance. Amen. He accepts us in spite of who we are. Hallelujah. His love is unconditional, but he accepts us based on Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. It's not in who I am, it's in who his son is and my position in the son. Oh, aren't you glad you're not accepted based on your criteria, but based upon who Jesus is? God has shown us favor. He's poured out his gifts upon us because we are in the beloved. He doesn't accept us because we are acceptable, but he accepts us because we are in his son, and his son is acceptable to him. Hallelujah. We don't measure up, but the son measures up. Glory to God. We fall short, but the son doesn't. And if I'm in the son, I am accepted in the beloved. Let me show you how that works. I want to take you to the baptism of Jesus and read these verses. Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved. Are you hearing a word ring there? This is my what, son? My beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom, sister brother, I accept, I approve of him. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you how we're accepted. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we are in the son, and the father has already proclaimed it. This is my beloved son, I accept him. And if we're in Jesus, what the father has said about the son, he is saying about us. Oh, it's certainly there at the Jordan River. He said, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased. If you are in Christ, he is saying this morning, this is my beloved son in whom I am well. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well. I tell you how we're accepted. We're accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah. And that's why we can expect the Spirit to come upon us too. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're so living so good, not because we're so holy, but we are in the beloved son, and the Spirit comes upon the beloved son whom God accepts. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Being said of Jesus, it is said of us. And I don't want to belabor the point, but one more time, being accepted by God has nothing to do with personality, talent, ability, social status, economic status, athletic ability. being accepted of God has everything to do with being in the beloved whom God does accept. I think I might mention this a while back, but how many here just you're an adult, you're not afraid to mention it. You're just not that good at sports. Do you remember the days when you stood up against the fence and nobody'd pick you? Remember that, Brother Mark? We've had acceptance problems, haven't we? He can't hit. He can't run. He drops so wild. Don't pick him. But what if Jesus is standing up against the fence? I'm not talking about a ball game. I'm talking about life. You may feel unaccepted, but if you're in the beloved, God says, I choose you. I pick you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep preaching anyway. Amen. But let's go ahead and thank the Lord that we're accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, if some young people would get a hold of this, they wouldn't be trying to fit into the world and destroying themselves in the process. I wish I'd get a hold of some young people. They wouldn't commit suicide if they could get a hold of this concept. Hallelujah. We are accepted into that's a remedy. Amen. But I'm going to deal with the results of our being accepted in the beloved, accepted in Jesus. And I'm going to run through these very quickly, but they are important conclusions. If I'm accepted in the beloved, number one, I am free from trying to earn and find and know acceptance. I don't have to try to earn acceptance. Amen. Because I'm accepted in the... Oh, this is a liberating thing. I said this is a liberating way. There's always a twisted theological mind or a carnal mind that wants to twist the truth, and they want to say, well, good. It doesn't matter how I live. I'll go ahead and develop my chemical habit. I'll do the things of the world because I don't have to earn my acceptance. You are twisting the truth. Amen. This does free me. I'm not trying to win God's approval. If I'm in Jesus, I have His approval. I'm not trying to earn my sonship. If I'm in Jesus, I am a son. I'm not trying to earn acceptance. If I am in Jesus, I am accepted in the beloved. That does not mean that I can live a life that's unacceptable, because if I am truly in Jesus and He is truly in me, He will live through me a life that is acceptable to God. I still won't do the things of the world because Jesus is in me, and Jesus doesn't live that way. Jesus doesn't talk that way. Jesus doesn't do those things. Hallelujah. It's not a plea of lowering the standard. No, it's just saying I don't have to earn that position. Amen. I'm in Jesus, and He's accepted by the Father. Second conclusion, I am free to be myself. Not my sinful self, but my new self, my in Jesus self. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have to be like somebody out there. I don't have to be like somebody that's popular, and I don't have to be like somebody that's athletic, and I don't have to be someone that sings really well. Amen. I'm just free to be myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. May go a little flat sometimes. Amen. May not get every song just right, but I'm free to pick up the microphone and sing. Why? Because I'm accepted in the beloved. Oh, glory to God. Just be whom God created you to be. You are in Jesus. Your worth is not based on your athleticism or your musical ability. Your fitting in is not based on your personality, your charm, or your lack of charm. Amen. Your being good is not based on some great accomplishment or great achievement. Hallelujah. You're accepted in the beloved. You can be you. Oh, hallelujah. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying carnal you. I'm not saying fleshly you. I'm just saying you're free to be whom God created you to be. Whatever your name, whatever your address, whatever your temperament, whatever your personality, you're accepted already in the beloved. You are free to be you. Hallelujah. And I think because of that, we need to rejoice in a security that we are accepted in God. Not because of anything that's so right about me, but because I am in Christ and everything is right about Him. I don't have to impress. I don't have to put on the dog. I don't have to gain people's approval. I don't have to be something I'm not. I don't have to walk around with a chip on my shoulder. Worry because everybody don't talk to me the right way. Because somebody didn't shake my hand. Because somebody's frowning at me. Because somebody's asleep while I'm preaching. I don't have to walk around with a chip on my shoulder. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being set free. Set free. Amen. I don't have to make it all about me. Amen. Every church service isn't about me. Amen. I may not like that particular style of music that the special soloist is singing. I may not even like that particular preacher and how he preaches. Amen. But it isn't all about me. Hallelujah. I've been set free from being me. I'm in Christ. I can be myself in Him, not separate from Him. I am accepted in the beloved. Let me give you another conclusion. Amen. I am free to accept others. I am free to accept others. It's not because of our goodness that we accept ourselves. Therefore, it's not because of their goodness that we accept others. Amen. If we realize God has accepted us in Christ, then we can accept others in Christ. Listen, sure, there's folks with hang-ups, and number yourself amongst them. Amen. Sure, there's people that have spiritual problems, and number yourself amongst them. Sure, there's folks that don't always do right, don't always perform right. But when you really know that acceptance is in the beloved, you're free to let God deal with them. You're free to love them in spite of their faults. You're free to love them in spite of the difficulty they're heaven serving God. I'm telling you, if we're accepted in the beloved, we are free to accept. I'm not talking about accepting deviant behavior. I'm not talking about accepting sin. I'm talking about accepting folks like God does. Yes, you got a problem. Oh, but if you're in Christ, He's accepted you. Who am I to reject somebody God has accepted? Some of you are looking at me like you got a different preacher this morning. But I'm free to be myself. A person that's always worried about someone else not conforming is either somebody that's conceited and thinking they've got it all together, or it's somebody hiding a great inferiority that they themselves aren't accepted. Have you ever noticed those folks? They're always finding some reason to exclude everybody, not like everybody. Amen. Now, when Brother Heath, he's not like that. When he looks at me, he tries to find a reason to like me. Don't you? Some folks, as soon as they're introduced to somebody, they try to find a reason not to like them. Tie's crooked. How many knows what I'm talking about? Oh. But if we know we're accepted not because of our greatness, we're accepted in the beloved, we're free to accept others. Oh, God, give God time with the hang up. He gave us time. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know if I'm getting through. Aren't you glad He hasn't rejected you because of your hang ups? And if you don't think you have a hang up, that's your hang up. Brother Brock, should I just go on? Hallelujah. I said we're free to accept others. Now I want to talk specifically as I end this. You say, Pastor, I don't feel accepted. I want to ask you something. Notice that none of these questions are based on personality, talent, ability. I want to ask you something. Are you truly in Jesus? Have you really by faith surrendered your life and your heart and your soul and your future to Jesus? If you don't feel accepted, that's the first question. Are you truly in the beloved? Are you truly trusting in what He has done for you rather than you trying to do it? Look, we got to get a hold of this. And again, you've heard me preach for 23 years, so I don't have to qualify everything. But some folks are still trying to earn God's approval. Amen. Amen. When the message is, if we're in Him, He approves of His Son, and we are accepted in the beloved. Are you trusting in that? Are you truly realizing that God created you, especially you? He loves you unconditionally, and he accepts you because you are in Jesus. I didn't know how to end this, and so I just want to, just a few more things press here. And I look at Scripture, and Jesus never rejected anybody that came to him. Is that truth? Did he not say that? He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. He never rejected anyone. But I did find where some that came to him rejected themselves. Jesus welcomed them, but they would not receive him and his message. And they walked away outside of the beloved. In other words, they chose not to be accepted. Jesus did not reject them. I believe that is true. Some folks will say, well, God won't have me. He never rejected you. You chose not to be accepted. This is totally incidental. But let me solve the predestination debate right here. God chooses to choose those who have chosen Christ. Oh, I said, God has chosen to choose those who choose Christ. Those are the ones that he accepts. Amen. Most of the time, I've had folks come to me in this situation, and they say, I don't feel like I fit in the church, or I don't feel like I fit in with those people. But if you look, nobody's excluded them. They've excluded themselves. Had ladies say, I don't feel like I fit in with the ladies. Never come to a ladies' fellowship. Before you can get to them, they're gone from church after the service. Never come to a fellowship. And if they say, nobody's rejecting you. Amen. You're choosing not to be accepted. Oh, hallelujah. And so what I'm preaching, it's not a reality. It's an attitude. And the best attitude to have is, if I am born again, I am accepted in the beloved. Just because I'm wanting more attention and I'm wanting approval of my choices doesn't mean I'm not accepted. Just because I have this attitude, I will do it in your face, knowing that you disapprove of that, and then I'll complain if you don't accept me. That doesn't mean you're not accepted. Have you ever noticed some folks will do that? They'll get in your face and do things you have to turn your head from, and then say, look there, folks don't accept me. No, they do accept you, but you're choosing not to be accepted, just like you do with Christ. Amen. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, there needs to be a rejoicing. Amen. That God has accepted you, and the people of God have accepted you, no matter how much you have failed, no matter how much you falter. Why? Because you have a heart that says, above all, I want to be born again. Above all, I want to live in Jesus. Above all, I want Jesus living in me. And therefore, you are accepted in the beloved. Would you come, music? Oh, isn't that a joy to know this morning? I don't do this very often, but here in a moment, I want you to lift your hand. You're not talking to anyone but yourself and God. And I just want you to say it so you can get comfortable saying it. I want you to say, I am accepted in the beloved. Would you do that? Amen. Nobody else listen. You just speak it out. I am accepted in the beloved. I've been born again. My sins are forgiven. I believe. I trust in Jesus. Let's say it again. I am accepted in the beloved. Can you hear the Father? Oh, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we are in him. I said, we are in him. One of the things that's most disconcerting is when people get an eye for the world. And in some twisted way, after having known the things of God, they think the world is going to fix what's wrong with them. Can you imagine? That's got to be it. That's got to be why a believer turns from following Christ. Finds, in some twisted way, they think the world's going to fix What's wrong? Let me ask you, when's the last time the world's way has fixed anything about anybody? It doesn't fix anything. It tears up. It destroys. Even these younger ones, they'll know the name because it's only been 2 years since her passing. But Whitney Houston, the pop singer, she was the most awarded female recording artist of all time. She ought to feel accepted, shouldn't she? Shouldn't she? Most awarded recording artist of all time. But her friend said she struggled with insecurity and anxiety of not being able to measure up. One actor friend got her a role on a major movie, and he said he couldn't hardly get her to go out to the set because she was just convinced she wasn't good enough for the role, for the part. And she got out there and everything just was out there about 20 seconds. She began to weep and cry, and she ran there under whatever the tent or in the building there, and he followed her there. And her makeup was all streaked, and she had fallen apart and been sobbing right there. And he asked her, began to talk with her. She said, "I just can't do it. I'm not good enough." And one of the things she had done, after they had got her face all ready, she thought she needed more to be acceptable. So she caked on more, and the lights for the filming had melted her makeup, and it had ran all over her face, and she was just a mess. He tried to console her. But he said, after her death, he said, this actor said, "Whitney, despite her success and worldwide fame, still wondered, am I good enough? Am I pretty enough? Will they like me?" After her death, her family expressed surprise that she was using drugs again. In an interview with Oprah Winfrey, her sister-in-law said that her downfall, Whitney's downfall, was because of a lifestyle of Whitney's chasing a dream and looking for comfort and love. Tell me the world has it together. Someone that should have felt accepted. And I'll tell you why. Because of what I preached, because of sin. You'll never, unless you deceive yourself with your own conceit, you'll never feel accepted till you realize something. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that liberating? As the servers come, I want you to lift your heart and hands. Say, "Thank you for accepting me, Father. I know it's no good on my part. I know it's simply because I'm in the Beloved. I'm in the Beloved." Oh, let somebody be liberated right now. You've carried that burden for years. You even try to gain approval in your own family. And again, I'm not talking, you've got me by now. I'm not talking about sinning and just saying, "You better accept me, I'm accepted." I'm talking about a heart that wants to live for God, wants to know God. You can end that battle because you're accepted in the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Somebody ought to be shouting in your soul. Oh, hallelujah. I'm accepted.
His precious blood has covered me. See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man would think it tragedy. But what the world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree, It broke the chains of sin and set Ben free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for men in misery. His precious blood has covered me. Thorns of violence, thorns of hate were growing wildly, and the sorrow it had caused was plain to see. But when the blood came streaming down the cross where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness growing free. For men in misery, sin died where the blood fell. I'm so glad His precious blood has covered me. Thorns of violence, thorns of hate were growing wildly, and the sorrow it had caused was plain to see. But when the blood came streaming down the cross where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness growing free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for men in misery. Precious blood has covered me. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope spring up for men in misery. Precious blood has covered me. See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man would think it tragedy. But what the world could not see was when they nailed him to the tree. It broke the chains of sin and set men free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope spring up for men in misery. See? sprang up for men in misery. Sin night, where the blood fell, I'm so glad His precious blood has covered me.
Amen. These elements that we hold say to us, we are accepted in the beloved. Amen. As you hold those elements, I'd like you to stand across the building and with a rejoicing heart, an unburdened heart, I want you to thank Him because of His body that was broken, His blood that was shed. You are accepted by God Almighty. Would you thank Him for it across everybody across the building holding the helmets? Thank you, God. Because of Jesus, I am accepted. I am accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah. I'm accepted by a holy God. I am accepted in time and eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm set free from what binds this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake of the bread that symbolizes His broken body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching, but He shed His blood to pay for those sins. Those sins did make us unacceptable, but His blood redeemed us from that sin. Let's partake of that cup together. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and praise Him, church. If you're here and you're not in Him, you can come to this altar right now. You can leave in Christ, accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. For we leave, let's sing what we were singing. I will cherish the old rugged cross. That's the point of our acceptance. Amen. That old rugged cross. Could we sing it? My trophies at last I lay down. Well, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for. One more time, let it ring. That's our acceptance.
So I'll cherish the old dragging cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
Oh, that's my acceptance.
I will cling to the old.
We're going to greet one another. And I want you to do something. You might find it a little hard, but when you greet one another, you can say, I love you, but you can also say, because He accepts me, I accept you, brother. Hallelujah. Sister. Amen. Would you show your love one to another? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.